Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great pleasure to welcome you here to the BASF Media Briefing. My name is Paul Ray. I'm the Vice President for the US Crop Protection Business based out of Raleigh. And it's our distinct pleasure to have you here this afternoon on what's a particularly warm afternoon here in Chicago, not predicted perhaps for this time of year, but it's great that you've chosen to attend our event. What I'd like to do is introduce the panellists who you'll be hearing from this afternoon. First of all, you'll be hearing from Scott Kay. Scott's on the end of the panel. Afternoon, Scott. He's our director for our Canadian crop protection business located out of Toronto. Next to Scott is Dr. Peter Innes, who most recently was the chairman and chief executive officer of Becker Underwood. More recently, he's been appointed as an advisor to our global crop protection business. And lastly, and certainly not least, fresh from a flight from Germany, Dr. Jürgen Huf, who has just been appointed our Senior Vice President for our new functional crop care business, which will be located out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And you'll be hearing from Dr. Huff on the outlook for our functional crop care business. I'd like to start by just providing a very brief update on the most recent event at BASF Crop Protection, and obviously it was the closing of the Becker Underwood acquisition. It's an acquisition that we're very pleased to have concluded. We see this as a very important addition to the BASF crop protection portfolio, and we were pleased that we navigated our way through to close the transaction successfully just at the close of November. Obviously, we're very excited about the potential that this product range will provide our organization, our combined organization, and really bringing growers across the Americas and around the world a whole range of innovative, profitable, and sustainable solutions for agriculture. It's our goal to integrate the organizations today as Becker Underwood and BASF by the end of the calendar year 2013. And obviously, given that we've just closed, we have a lot of work ahead of us to successfully integrate those businesses with a very keen eye on maintaining business continuity. And I'd like to start by sharing a little bit of the background on the strategy and the rationale for the acquisition against a context of our broader crop protection strategy. And you'll be hearing more on this particular strategy from Jürgen here shortly. But in essence, it's really boiling down to three key fields of interest for BASF that we're driving towards to really provide growers more offerings, more innovation than ever before. We obviously have a very strong foundation in our crop protection business. We're one of only a handful of organizations globally researching new active ingredients, new formulations, new delivery systems. We have a very strong track record in bringing innovative crop protection products to marketplace, and we intend to extend that capability further. In addition, we have a very strong position within the trait and seed partnership market segment. Obviously, the addition of the Becker Underwood portfolio extends that capability further, in particular with our seed treatment portfolio, which has a very strong base with our fungicide offering, will be nicely added to with the Becker Underwood seed treatment technology, application expertise, biologicals, inoculants will be a nice addition to our business. And that's on top of our very strong trait business with our Clearfield franchise, and also we're very excited looking forward to the introduction of the dicamba tolerant crop system, which will be another element of our seed partnership and trait offering. And lastly, an area where you'll be hearing from Jürgen in more detail is the area of innovation beyond crop protection. We have a very strong interest in bringing farmers new solutions that really extend the capability of crop potential to really bring new technologies to marketplace that are beyond the realms of traditional crop protection, and Jürgen will talk more about that here in a moment. Obviously, that's set against a backdrop of increasing demand for the outputs of agriculture. We know the numbers well, 9 billion people by 2050. And that's a tremendous opportunity for everyone in agriculture to innovate and to grow and to help farmers produce more product for an ever-increasing appetite globally. But it's also against a backdrop of finite resources. We only have so much water. We only have so much land. We have an increasing appetite for energy as well. And clearly, the role of innovation will play, and everyone in agriculture will play, in really meeting this challenge for the new century. And I know it's one that we're all very determined to play our role in and BASF certainly sees its role as significant. And then if you take that all the way down to a farmer level, farming, obviously, while it's set against a backdrop of optimism and obvious opportunity, there are still significant challenges. Farming is a complex business, more complex than ever. Farmers have to contend with, obviously, all the natural environment issues that we have, including the drought we just saw here in the US last year, but also volatility in the commodity markets, exchange rates, purchasing of equipment, changing regulations, and increasing scrutiny of their practices. It's not an easy environment to navigate in increasing their production output. And to really deepen our understanding of what we think the challenges that farmers face, a few years ago we established a grower advisory panel in which we pay very close attention to what are the underlying and deeper needs of growers across the Americas. And we're hearing consistently three key themes. The first is, help me increase my efficiency. Help me farm more efficiently than I can today. Secondly, help me reduce my risk, and that's risk in the broader sense of the word, be it commodity risk, production risk, and biological risk as well, which I'll share some examples of in a minute. And then the most obvious is help me increase my yield and the quality of the crops that I'm producing. Growers clearly want to push their acres. There's a demand for that output more and more, and they're looking to ways that they can increase yield and quality. And so BASF stands next to growers, helping them achieve those three areas of concern. And just to share some very clear and tangible examples of what we're doing across North America to really partner with growers as they are on that journey to increase their yield and productivity. A few examples just to highlight. One would be our offering on our finance offering, which allows growers to purchase their product much earlier in the season, mitigating purchase risk, with interest-free terms throughout the harvest from a purchase from before planting. Great example of a need that growers have to manage their working capital. But it's also supplemented by our innovation approach as well. Growers need more crop protection solutions than ever before. We face a challenging environment with weeds resistance, as a for instance sake. It's not going to be as easy to control those weeds as it has been for the last few decades. BASF is bringing over 12 modes of action or sites of action to the herbicide business, which will really help growers manage their weeds more effectively than ever before and supplement their traditional glyphosate practices. Another good example would be the On Target Application Academy. Growers obviously want to use and steward this technology to marketplace safely and effectively, minimizing any off-target movement of product. In the last year, we've conducted training on our On Target Application Academy with some 2,500 growers right across the US, bringing to them the very latest nozzle application technology to ensure they apply those products effectively. A few examples from how we can help them become more efficient and are doing so on a daily basis. Kixor herbicide powers four different products in the US and one key product in Canada. We've noticed that growers more and more are challenged with planting dates. How quick can they get their crop in once the season opens up? A product like Kixor helps them manage their weeds 2 to 3 times faster than traditional chemical practices such as 2,4-D or glyphosate, really allowing them to turn around, spray, and then plant much sooner and get that crop up and away. Another example of efficiency would be with the application of Headline Amp in a late-season application in corn, allows that grower to actually harvest their crop by 2 miles faster per acre, a significant, or 2 miles per hour, I should say, a significant improvement in efficiency, which really does translate to lower wear and tear on equipment, but also savings in fuel and obviously productivity from the applicator. And lastly, improving yield and quality. And Scott will talk more about this in a moment on very exciting data we have coming across the Americas showing the benefits of the very latest crop protection technology can bring in terms of increasing yield. And some great money shots there in the bottom, as you can see, with some of our latest fungicide technology in terms of the post-harvest benefits it provides for peaches in this example, really demonstrating how quality can translate, obviously, through to improved productivity and returns for the grower. And that's obviously against a backdrop of increasing investment from BASF. We see these needs. We're intending to pursue and work very closely with growers to help them manage and succeed in their cropping enterprises. But that investment we're making is significant and increasing. Just in the last 12 months, we've embarked on a new deployment of our team called Innovation Specialists, where we now have some 50 individuals across the US and Canada actually going out on farm, helping growers in their practices with the very latest technology that BASF can bring to marketplace and really adopting that to their local cropping practices. It's very exciting. We have obviously a tremendous opportunity to bring the very latest technology and get that out on farm and help growers truly get the most from every acre. Our in-field research reputation continues unabated. We have very strong partnerships with many of the leading universities, and our commitment to work with them to help growers be more successful is continuing. And most recently, in the last 12 months, we've announced a very significant expansion at our RTP facility. Most recently, a $33 million expansion of our facilities there to expand our research and development capabilities with expanded laboratories and greenhouses. And most recently, obviously, the acquisition of Becker Underwood is another great example of how BASF is committed to bringing the broadest, most successful range of products that growers need across the North America marketplace. Becker Underwood obviously has a great reputation in the marketplace, a real expertise within seed treatment and biological technologies. And we're just very pleased to welcome their organisation into our business. They have a great team of people, and we're very much looking forward to having them join our organisation. And lastly, now handing over to Scott, the continued journey we're on bringing a whole range of new products to the North American farmer. Within the US alone, some 33 new products, which we're halfway through bringing to the marketplace here, will continue. And we have many new exciting launches of new crop protection technologies to bring in the coming 2 or 3 years. And so with that, I'd now like to hand over the podium to Scott Kay, our director for our Canadian crop protection business. Scott will continue to talk on our innovation approach and how that's translating to significantly improved yield results in the North American marketplace. So welcome, Scott.
Thank you, Paul. And, you know, I am very excited to be here to welcome the Becker Underwood folks to our team. I think it's going to be a great team moving forward. And, you know, I also want to just note again, I'm the Canadian Business Director, but I am going to speak to the both markets, both the U.S. and the Canadian market, so really a North America perspective. And so that's so as I go through here, that's our intent. And so when we think about how to help farmers, I mean, that's what I think we show up every day to do, is how do we help farmers maximize their yields or get the most potential out of their fields? And you can see this chart here. I think it illustrates quite well some of the things Paul talked about earlier, and that is just by buying the seed and putting fertilizer in the ground doesn't make for a perfect crop. I think the potential's there when you start, but the farmer has all these risks that he must compete with as he goes through the season. And so just to walk down some of those, so think about what happens if the nutrition isn't proper. What happens if you plant late? And I know a lot of farmers in Iowa, since I grew up there, that they know what happens if you plant the corn too late. The yield isn't quite there. The without seed treatment, what happens if you plant your crop without a seed treatment? We all know what happens around weed competition. Disease and stress, we talk about that a lot here at BASF because we think about stress in terms of how do we make the plant healthier? So hence plant health. How can we make it better? And then insect pressure. So what we try and do is we're confident not all of these things are going to hit in a given year. But I think if you want to plan for the highest yield potential possible, it's important that you're utilizing practices that guard against some of these things occurring on your farm. So let's take a closer look at what some of those things might be. Now, I use here an example around herbicides, and you know I think it's widely known that if you allow early weeds competition in your cornfield, there's going to be a loss, up to 1% yield loss per day under conditions where you have heavy weed competition. You also see the same thing at a 6 to 10% yield loss when you have soybeans. Now, I think that even gets a more extreme when you have resistant broadleaf weeds. You know, in Canada, we fight kochia, and it's a problem, and it's growing. And we know all the weeds we have in the States. So resistance is a North America problem. It's not just in the southern states. It's not just now coming to the northern states. It's in Canada and the United States. But BSF has a plan, and I think we have the right portfolio to address not just the weeds that are resistant today, but potentially the weeds that are resistant for the future as well, because we have the most sites of action when it comes to helping the farmer manage resistance on the farm, with 12 sites of action. And we've also seen that our innovations are working as in doing battle against resistance. Kixor, for one, sold in across North America under the name Verdict here in the States. We sell Heat in Western Canada to address some of these issues. Then there's also a widely known product called Sharpen. We've introduced a post-corn herbicide called Armazon, along with Zidua for soybeans, all meant to help manage weeds, first and foremost, so you maximize yield, but are also going to be doing battle against weed resistance as well. So we take a look at fungicides. Now, BSF invented plant health, and we continue to bring new products that only make it better. And so, you know, to me, when I think about risk, disease can be devastating on the farm, 50% yield loss. Just ask somebody in Western Canada what they saw when they had sclerotinia in their canola. But I think it's more important. We have to manage the plant to be healthy throughout the season. And I'm going to talk about one of the practices we're introducing in Canada, and it follows the same lines that we introduced new practices in corn and beans here in the United States. But we won't stop there. We introduced Headline first, Headline Amp second for corn. This year, Preaxor fungicide, Marivon, and Pristine, all part of the F500 family. And we don't stop there. So we're also looking at insecticides as well. And we continue to invest and do research in that area and looking at products like Fastac insecticide and Ultravin for fire and bait insecticide as well. And so you're probably saying, what does this all add up to, right? We have a lot of solutions, but are they getting results? Are they actually helping the farmer achieve a higher level of performance? And I think they are. And I think what's nice about this is that you can see that as the farmer makes incrementally better decisions, or higher management decisions, I probably should say, then you see an incremental result in that decision making. So at each place, if we start in a cornfield and we introduce glyphosate as the main practice, 146.6 bushels, pretty respectable. But as you move along and you see the last chart with BSF residual pre, so Verdict, followed by glyphosate post, and then followed by a fungicide, you have substantial yield increase. But I also think you have substantial increase in plant health. That crop has been more sustainable. It's better off to fight all the things that are occurring in that first chart. So I think when you take a look at that, you're going to see also that we're not just investing in corn or just in fungicides. So when we take a look at the Canadian market, we're investing even broader than some of the things I've just spoken to, with 8 new active ingredients, 25 total new products, and some 22-plus million acres that we'll be capturing between now, 2010, and 2015. So there's a lot of investment going on. I think Paul mentioned that earlier. You know, some $2 million per day BSF is investing in research and development. And what is that leading to? Again, like I just showed, I think it's leading to a lot of success in North America. It's leading to us helping farmers get the most out of every acre in North America. So while there's differences, I think there's a lot of things that are the same. So you take a look at 2 products that we introduced, 2 fungicides in Canada last year for wheat with Corumba and Twinline. Each of these delivered 6 incremental bushels per acre. When you take a look at a canola crop, where we are the first, like delivering plant health with F500, we actually created a new timing 2 years ago by putting Headline in at the herbicide timing. What's the result? 7% yield difference year over year. 3 to 4 bushels has been the result by introducing a brand new timing to farmers at the herbicide timing. And so as BSF invests more into crop protection, we also are looking at other active ingredients. And so it's not going to stop there. Most of our timelines we're going to show from 2010 to 2015. But that's just the beginning as far as I'm concerned. Plus, we're going to be introducing Becker Underwood's products and their research and development to the pipeline as well. I think that is going to be substantial in how BSF looks in the future. But it goes beyond just the active ingredients. And I want to talk about this a little bit more because I think Paul made a great point. We want to make it simpler for farmers to farm. Not only do we want to help them get the most every acre, we want to make it simpler for them to work in their fields. And so you see that within formulations that we'll bring, along with tools that we'll offer to help it make their life easier. We also are going to be very persistent in our leadership role in fungicides by delivering Preaxor fungicide to the marketplace in Canada this year, the U.S. last year, Marivon fungicide, all part of the Xemium family of active ingredients. And Zidua is going to be a product for the future in soybeans in helping fight resistant weeds. And so all that adds up to, in North America, some 33 new products across North America between 2010 and 2015. And we have other ones along the way when you talk about dicamba-tolerant corn and dicamba-tolerant products along with an insecticide called Fastac. And so to me, in North America, we have a lot going on. We are really, truly, in North America, trying to help farmers get the most out of every acre. And, you know, it translates from a grower's perspective to me, you know, I think they always want to say, help me bring new innovations, because we have to help educate them about those new products. But bring me a solution to my farm. I think that's even more important. It's not just, let's just bring products. I think it's important that we bring true solutions and that we customize those solutions to their farm. We have to promote higher yields while conserving resources. Again, back to what Paul said about sustainability. I think it's really critical that we help maximize yields, but we try and do those things in a much different way. Help growers get the most every acre goes without saying when it comes to BSF, and that we have to continue to look to innovate. And, you know, for me, this untapped grower opportunities, well, I think even as an organization, we're going to see that even more so now as we bring Becker Underwood portfolio and R&D into our pipeline as well. And so I think, you know, from there, we hope that growers will see us as the preferred solution provider when it comes to their crop protection needs on their farm. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over now to Peter Innes and let him tell you about Becker Underwood. Thank you.
To Paul and Scott, thank you for giving up your time this afternoon to hear our story. What I would like to do is to tell you a little about Becker Underwood, maybe 10 or 15 minutes to give you a flavor of our company, our history, our key technology platforms, and how we see these platforms adding to the challenge that we have today of increasing feeding and increasing population. So with that in mind, our history is that we, this year in 2012, celebrated our 30th anniversary as a company. We've been up till 2 weeks ago privately held throughout that 30-year history. The company had rather humble origins in Ames, Iowa, back in 1982. And we've grown that business to a multinational company, as you'll see. Our business, we are in the business of manufacturing and marketing, and particularly products based on biologicals and other specialty products. And, you know, we... although we describe ourselves as a manufacturer and marketer, we have a very large commitment to R&D and to innovation, and I will say a little bit about that throughout the course of this short presentation. I'm very proud to say that we've grown our business consistently every year since its inception in 1982, and as you'll see in one of my slides, We've had really quite dramatic growth in the recent past, and I'll explain a little bit why that is or how that came about. So I have a very busy slide for you here. I don't expect you to memorize all of this, but I do want to use this slide to illustrate to you a couple of really key points. As you'll see, two of our fundamental technology platforms revolve around our knowledge base on colorants, pigments, and particularly functional polymers. Now, you can imagine how enthusiastic we are, since we are in the polymer business, of joining together with BASF, which, of course, has a huge history and a technology base in polymers. But that has been a fundamental technology platform for us. And in parallel with that, we have a long history also of utilizing biologicals, of trying to harness the power of biologicals in agriculture and horticultural markets. And that's a formidable task. That's an area that we have really focused on. And so you see from this these financial metrics that over the last 2 to 3 years, we have brought these two fundamental technology platforms together to create a combination of biological-based products in combination with our key functional polymer technology to be providing our markets with a kind of all-in-one solutions. And you'll see as we introduced our BioStacked products in the 2010 timeframe how that has resulted in a pretty key inflection point in the growth of the business. And needless to say, we feel very strongly that we are entering the age of the biologicals, where we can, through the knowledge base and the technology that's now available to us, really begin to harness that power in combination with the products and the solutions that BASF brings to the table. I did want to say a word about R&D. I mentioned that we were a company that invests heavily in R&D and in innovation. We principally target our R&D spend to the more developmental end. So we focus very much on on process technology, process development, product development. So we have a very strategic way of spending our R&D dollars. And we have typically spent 5% of our revenues on R&D. And, of course, that doesn't compare with $2 million a day that we just said, so we're pretty excited about that as well. But it has been a very successful R&D strategy. When I look at the revenues that we have in 2012, 41% of those revenues are a direct result from technology, from R&D that we have developed over the last 6 years. So, we really pride ourselves on a fast development and commercialization of technology. As I mentioned, we do have these two key technical platforms, and we have a long history in developing the expertise and the knowledge base of both platforms. So one of the fundamentals of Becker Underwood when it started was to try and understand functional polymers and colors and pigments, and we've continued that development throughout the history of the company. The biological business really came to Becker Underwood from an acquisition back in late 2000, and that's how I came to join Becker Underwood. I was involved in that company that was acquired. And that was a company called Microbio. We focused entirely on the development of biological products for use in agriculture and horticulture. And so we've brought these, we are increasingly bringing these technology platforms together in the business. And you can see that it's not a trivial task to harness the power, particularly of the biological organisms. And so I've listed here a couple of the key technical challenges that we faced as a business over the years. And the first one is an obvious one. How do you identify which are beneficial microbials and biologicals? In 1 gram of soil, there's typically 5 billion organisms. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, and some of them are neutral. And there's a real skill and strength in that screening expertise which we've developed. It's also not a trivial matter to ferment and formulate these products and make sure that they're consistent products, that they're formulated correctly, they're delivered to the market correctly, and importantly, that you can measure the results and you can see a consistent impact of those results. These are living organisms, of course, and often, just like you and I, you know, we're temperamental at times. We need to keep those organisms alive on the seed, which is a pretty harsh environment. So, again, a technical challenge there. And all of us in our industry know that if you base your product development on the real world, on field trials, then you're restricted to one growing season per hemisphere. And then largely, the introduction of this pace and speed of introduction of these products is largely dictated by the regulatory authorities or the regulatory environment in particular markets. So now you're beginning to understand. I think I can see it in your eyes that you know you understand that the two fundamentals of Becker Underwood are biological technology and expertise in that area, and functional polymer know-how. And we address really address four fundamental end-use markets with these products, and all of the markets that we address have we find application for our key technologies. So agricultural plant health, we've heard that phrase very often already this afternoon. Horticulture and specialty agriculture, livestock nutrition, and landscape are all key end-use markets that our company has historically addressed. In terms of our manufacturing, I mentioned we're a manufacturing and marketing company. We have 10 state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities across our 12 global locations. We take great pride in the quality of our manufacturing assets, and of course that's important because we produce quality products. It's actually very important marketing tool for us as we bring our customers in to see how and where their products are made. And so we really have invested heavily in high quality manufacturing assets. So a little bit now about the future of these kinds of products in agriculture, and particularly the future now that we can bring these portfolios together. How do we see that? And, Paul has already kind of exemplified this issue, and we read about this issue, all of us, in the newspapers every day. This is the fundamental question that we as a company, that we as an industry, and that we as a society face. How do we feed a growing population from a limited number of resources and a limited number of land under cultivation? And, our industry has been hugely successful historically by meeting the challenge of increasing demand through crop protection, through fertilizers, through plant breeding. More recently, since 1994, since the introduction of genetically modified traits into crops, all of these continue to be very important. All these are key investment areas, but there are other ways of complementing and supplementing those areas, and we strongly believe that biologicals represent a good opportunity to increase yield. And by way of illustration, I've just taken a sample here of some trials from around the world on various crops, and I'd like to stress that these are independent trials. We commission these trials. We have them independently conducted. We have the independent yield measurement, etc. And the marching orders for these trials are pretty straightforward. Wherever they are and whatever crop they're on, use whatever agronomic practice you would normally use. Use whatever fungicides or insecticides you would normally use. Use that as your control, and then use that same treatment and add our biological products and measure the incremental yield. And so you see sampling, you see that we're getting significant and consistent increases in yield from these biological products. So that gives us a lot of confidence that we are beginning to harness the power of these biologicals and utilizing them in to increase yield. And I think that, I believe strongly, and of course with my background I would say this, that we are entering the era of biologicals and their harnessing their power and their exploitation, commercial exploitation in agriculture. And we're a little bit behind many other industries, of course, human and pharmaceutical industries, animal health, animal nutrition. Biologicals are a fundamental source of new products for those industries. But we're now beginning to be able to understand how to harvest that that power. And from a fairly high-level look at the markets that we're addressing, we believe that by 2020, these biologicals markets will, the addressable market for biologicals will be in the order of $8 billion, so a big prize. I'd like to speak briefly about our biostech technology. We began this program really back in 2005, and the fundamental idea is putting together combinations of biologicals and functional polymers to provide solutions for our growers. So the advantage of looking at combinations and biological products is that if you have more than one source of biological, then you're offering multiple modes of action. That generally will give you much better consistency and of measurable yield, quantifiable yield. Matching those, mirroring those with performance-enhancing polymer technology to address things that are important to all of us, such as the control of dust-off, plantability, etc. And the combination of these factors in our products delivers increased yields, measurable increased yield, consistency, more dependable yields. And, of course, I had these slides before this acquisition. Let me tell you, it's very important to us that our products were formulated in conjunction with chemical active ingredients to work in complementary ways on the seed and in foliar applications. So I just wanted to give you finally a couple of slides on the first one on, you know, how do you value these? What's it worth, you know? And the way we look at this is we make a very, I think, compelling argument to our end users, to our growers. And by way of illustration, I've chosen here as an example looking at a soybean grower utilizing the fairly recent Ohio State University analysis of soybean growers' total cost per acre. So utilizing those numbers. And then by way of example, I've taken one of our flagship products, Volt HP, which is a biostacked biological-based product. Volt HP typically at end-user level costs $4.40 per acre to buy and to apply. And we consistently are seeing a 2.2 bushel increase from that product. So it's rather a persuasive and compelling argument that if you spend $4.40 and you have a return, in the $35, $37 area, that's a compelling argument and one that resonates with our growers. And then I mentioned earlier that it's the way that we value our products and develop our products is very much based on field performance, on the real world. And so I've given an example there. It's a set of data for looking over three years. And again, it's using the Volt HP as an example. That's where the 2.2 bushel per acre increase comes from. You see a very consistent response. And one of the issues that I'm often asked to address is how is this value, how is it susceptible or vulnerable to volatility in commodity pricing? So to address that issue, in the bottom histogram there, we've looked at, if you look at the left-hand side, we've taken the 25-year average soybean price per bushel, $7.23. Now, I don't think anybody in this room thinks we're going to anytime soon go back to $7 soybeans, but even if we did, that 2.2 bushel acre is worth $15.6. And so for a $4.4 outlay, that's still a compelling argument. And, of course, as you move to the right, more realistic, I think prices today are $14.50 for soybeans, you see that argument becomes even more compelling. And then finally, my last slide is I want to emphasize that one of the big advantages of the biological products is they very consistently give visible effects. You can see the effect of adding these products. And, that has an intangible value. Now, of course, our products convert from a visible effect into a yield effect that you can measure coming off the combine. And as long as we continue to do that, and we will continue to do that, everybody will be happy. So thank you for your attention. I'd now like to, it's my pleasure to hand over to Dr. Jürgen Huff, who is the Senior Vice President of our Functional Crop Care Unit, and look forward to hearing you, Jürgen.
Thank you, Peter. Before I move on and look into the future together with you, let me take a brief look at BASF's history. And I'd like to pick up one comment that Peter made earlier on in his presentation, and it's about fertilizers. You remember the figure of $140 billion sales? It's a commodity part of our agricultural business, but it's extremely important. BASF is now 147 years old. Together with Becker Underwood's experience, we're adding now up to 177 years of experience, if you follow my mathematics. It all started at BASF initially with textile dyes, but very soon BASF started to look at agriculture and at farming. At BASF, the first industrial process was commercialized that extracts nitrogen out of the atmosphere surrounding us. So fertilizers started with a research project at BASF and with an innovation in that process. We have a long-standing history in agriculture, therefore. And of course, in the years to come, BASF has added a lot of portfolio components to this initial set of products in textile dyes and in fertilizers. Just to mention a couple of recent acquisitions, not all of this growth has happened organically. Some of it has happened via acquisitions, of course, but a lot has happened organically. One of our recent acquisitions was Cognis in 2010. And now, of course, we are very glad to welcome the Becker Underwood community, the Becker Underwood pipeline, and the Becker Underwood products in our portfolio. This is the overview of BASF, the segments as they stand right now. You see it's a very colorful, not only in terms of this slide, but also in terms of the portfolio. BASF is the biggest chemical company in the world. Sales-wise and also employee-wise, we are in a very good position, with 100,000 employees worldwide serving customers in more than 200 countries. We find it very, very important to offer solutions from our portfolio. When we talk about solutions today in the agricultural world, we are making a reference also to this approach in other BASF segments. So solutions are important in all of the segments of BASF. Looking at crop protection and a couple of key figures from 2011, obviously we have to wait till 2012 has completely passed and all the controllers have given their blessing for the current figures, so I'm looking at the slightly older figures here. In 2011, we made $4.5 billion of sales, and the EBIT in the same year was $1 billion. So you see it's a very profitable business we're running here. And I'm going to get back to that later. One of the reasons is that we consequently and very consistently focus on innovation for our customers and for the growers. Alone in crop protection at BASF, we're employing close to 7,000 employees worldwide. And we're doing our business by running 6 manufacturing sites worldwide and 7 research sites. And this is not counting our regional setup. If I had put figures on our formulation, filling, and packaging setup and other regional businesses, of course, this would look different. We are a part of the world's leading research companies in crop protection. We're doing research, we are committed to research, and we have a very proven track record in developing fungicides, insecticides, and herbicides for our growers worldwide. This is reflected also in BASF's total R&D spend. You heard the figure early on from Scott. It's actually pretty daunting to hear how much money we're spending every day on research, but it's worth every penny. So if we look at our sales contribution to BASF, roughly 6% of BASF sales are represented by crop protection sales, by the work we're doing in the different regions, amounting to roughly $95 million in 2011. If we look at the share of the R&D expenditures BASF is spending on agriculture, you see that the picture is a little different. We are spending much more in agriculture. Roughly 26%, roughly a quarter of our R&D expenditure goes into agriculture, underpinning and underlining how important innovation in that area is. And going back to what Paul said earlier, it shows how committed BASF also is to meet the growers' needs, but also address the big challenges the world is facing. We're talking about 9 billion people in 2020. This is something we've discussed intensively also with Peter. We have a commitment here and also responsibility to provide solutions to the markets and to our growers to meet these challenges. And our strategy here, our concept is pretty easy in that sense. We're talking about innovation, and innovation is the only way that is going to bring us closer to delivering these innovations to our customers. You've heard that earlier on. These factors make what makes the life of the farmers difficult but also challenging. Paul was going into the details earlier on, talking about abiotic stress, talking about the yield challenges, talking about climatic challenges, talking about diseases also. I don't want to go into detail again. If you ask me what's the one-line statement that we would like to bring to the farmers and that we would like to be measured with also by our customers, it's we also in the future want to bring sustainable and innovative solutions to agriculture and to the growers, the farmers, our customers. Where do these solutions come from? How are we structuring them? We're talking here about agricultural solutions coming from the three areas, and you've seen this slide earlier on already in Paul Ray's presentation. We're talking about the area of traits and seed partnerships. We're talking about innovation beyond crop protection, and we're talking about the classical conventional crop protection business consisting of fungicides, herbicides, and insecticides. If we look at the pillars underlining these three areas, it's people, it's farmer focus, it's business excellence, and it's sustainability. People are very important for us, and we take great pride in the fact, for example, that in North America, our people are voted consistently as the best in knowledge and experience by the industry, which shows that we invest in people. Of course, we do this for two reasons. We want to give the best advice and the best technical knowledge to our customers, to the growers. But of course, also we want to attract the best talent from the industry to fulfill this. And if we look at our innovation targets, these are challenging targets and challenging timelines we're talking about, which brings us to the next pillar, farmer focus. This is where innovation comes from. It's not designed at a desk, lonely somewhere in a world in an office. This comes directly from the market. And for us, this operational involvement, understanding real farmer needs, understanding sustainability and innovation needs is an extremely important component of devising new innovation and coming up with new projects. Business excellence is something where we continuously try to improve our performance, try to improve our competitive position, for example, by streamlining, by optimizing our business processes, by streamlining our technical processes, by applying best practice examples all over the world. Sustainability has been mentioned a lot today. I think if we look at these components, the acquisition of Becker Underwood will also put us into a much better position than before with respect to these underlying pillars. I'm talking here about the great people from Becker Underwood joining BASF, which we're all really looking forward to. There's a great pool of competence and know-how in that organization. Farmer focus is absolutely something that we also look forward to. There will be great new knowledge, there will be great new insight given to BASF by combining what Becker Underwood has done so far with their customers and what BASF has gained so far in experience. And I was pretty grateful when I saw the slide in Peter's presentation, in Peter's slide deck, detailing already that Becker Underwood was, even before the acquisition and before this event, very active in looking at combinations of chemicals and biologicals. Just shows it was a marriage waiting to happen, and now it has happened. So, we move on. This is the new global business unit. It consists of three pillars. We call it functional crop care because we want to focus on the solution aspect of this business unit. It consists of the former seed solution business of BASF. This business contains our insecticide and our fungicide active ingredient research, as well as the marketing activities. We will also put into this new business unit innovations beyond crop protection. They are aimed at, for example, improving nutrient uptake, and they are aimed at improving water management, providing water management options to growers. And of course, our biologicals activities are going to be part of this new business unit. BASF has had a couple of contacts with the biologicals arena. We have a couple of components that fit under this biologicals umbrella, but of course, with the acquisition of Becker Underwood, we are now in a completely different league regarding product lineup, product portfolio, and we're looking forward to working with Becker Underwood in exploiting all of this. If we look at the individual components, like I listed them in the previous slide, Becker Underwood's portfolio provides us with a great set of offers, with a great set of solutions based on different biofungicides, on different bioinsecticides, but also on seed enhancement products like, for example, the BioStack technology and like the yield-enhancing inoculants business from Becker Underwood. Beneficial nematodes to control insects are an important part also that makes the portfolio even more attractive. Becker Underwood has a strong R&D pipeline. So in terms of the company philosophy, it fits very well to BASF. And we are looking forward to exploiting these opportunities and to look at synergies from what we've done so far in BASF, not only in chemicals research, but also in biotechnology research, for example. BASF has always been active in that area. As Peter has already mentioned, we are a polymer producer. We are providing specialty polymers to the markets and to different industries. And it will be a very exciting exercise to look at whether we can create new opportunities and create new options, new knowledge out of this, as we call it, research for Bund. So we're really looking forward to the opportunities we will generate from this. I was talking also about a part of the portfolio we call functional crop care, innovation beyond crop protection rather. And here we're taking a look at and looking at two different main areas. One is plant optimization. And the main part of this segment is formed by our plant health portfolio. As Paul has pointed it out, and Scott also, BASF has created this segment in the market, moving into corn first, but now we're expanding that with the experience we've gained in corn to a lot of other crops, soybeans, specialty crops, in many parts of this world. There are two important aspects our customers are interested in. Of course, they want to see yield increases by applying this technology. They want to see an increased return on investment. But they also see this as a great tool to improve abiotic stress tolerance. If you look at the experiences we've gained, for example, here in the Midwestern United States in 2012, we had a great deal of impact by the drought in the area, and I think the customers who have used our products, Headline Amp, were in a pretty good or in a much better position, to put it this way, than those who've chosen not to go for that option. And I think that is a very interesting area to look at when we look at combinations of Becker Underwood products and our own products. Growing optimization goes a step further. So here we're looking at enhanced fertilizer use efficiency. We want to get the fertilizers. The farmers have paid good money for their seed and for fertilizer. We want to make sure that both meet at the right point in time and that really the money of the farmer's investment goes all into yield and not and doesn't disappear somewhere in the groundwater or in the atmosphere. The two main topics we're interested in right now is nitrogen management and water management. There are more to come. Again, here, if we look at the nitrogen management topic, I'm pretty interested in what the future will bring coming from the Becker Underwood portfolio and the Becker Underwood products. So it's an interesting time. Seed protection, that's the last part to complete the new business unit, the new global business unit. And here we're talking about the classical crop protection chemicals coming from our fungicides and our insecticides portfolio, where we already are offering products to the market. What we find very interesting here is Becker Underwood has great expertise in developing performance-enhancing polymers for these products. You've used this mainly for the optimization of the biological products, and we will use this now mainly also to enhance the performance of our overall total portfolio. So that's also something where we have every reason to look forward to. To sum it up, the new global business unit will be best described by the four bullet points I've summed here, I've listed here. We want to combine, and we will combine BASF's chemical and Becker Underwood's biological and seed enhancement portfolio to create a new portfolio looking mainly at soil, at seed, at growing optimization. This is the combining thought and the overriding strategy here. We will use BASF's broad research and development expertise to work and continue to work with the Becker Underwood portfolio to optimize the potential there, to maximize the potential there, but also to put exciting opportunities together that so far we couldn't exploit because the two companies were separate. We want to, of course, with this new biological acquisition, also strengthen our sustainability strategy. This will put BASF with a very solid and a very robust portfolio in a different league regarding biologicals. We are committed to pursuing that, and we are committed to spending and investing into research in that area also in the years to come and in the future. To sum it up, I've mentioned that earlier on, we also, of course, want to join forces and use synergies coming from our Verbund. And here I do not only mean the manufacturing setup of BASF and the manufacturing network, which is pretty diverse and broad. We also want to do this with our research approach and with our research capabilities and the existing research capabilities of Peter Innes that Peter has described very nicely in one of the earlier slides.